March, we had started the spread of Christianity and kind of revisited Paul's life, but not in a consecutive manner as we did several years back. I know there's 50-odd lessons on Sermon Audio where I taught on the life of Paul here. Did so for about a year and a half. And so right now we're going and we're just looking and evaluating the spread of Christianity. Today is lesson number 3. And just to catch you up where we were in the beginning of lesson number 2, is that we looked at the conduct of Paul. We looked at his conduct and how he preached and how he spoke to people and how he witnessed and he used his hands in great manner. We see that in Acts 13, Acts 21, Acts 26, and Acts 20, where he beckoned with his hands. He stretched forth his hands. He said, these hands, Luke makes a note to bring attention to the hands of Paul. And we see his eyes. Luke mentions his eyes, Acts 13, 14, and Acts 23, that he earnestly beholds the council, that he's steadfastly beholding them, and he laid his eyes on someone. And just so that the conduct of Paul in his preaching, we see the use of his hands. He was an emphatic preacher. He was an emotional preacher, and I believe that we should be. That doesn't mean that you're carried away, or doesn't mean that you're, it's not something that is synthetic or fake by any means, but we ought to be moved by the power and might of the Holy Scripture in preaching. So not only see his hands, the use of his hands, Luke paying close attention to that, and his eyes, we also see that Luke pays close attention to Paul's voice. Acts 14:10, he said with a loud voice. Acts 16:28, he cried with a loud voice. Acts 19:8, he spake boldly. And in Acts 20, verse 7, he spake until midnight. We see there are various words that Paul, even when he wrote, and how he would speak according to the Scriptures, very boldly and sometimes considered harshly. We see in Romans chapter 9, in verse 2, that he had great heaviness, continual sorrow, that his heart's desire. But he also says in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, he says, let him be accursed. If anyone brings another gospel, that tries to pull you away from that which you have believed, a false gospel, Paul makes it clear, let it be accursed. Amen. And so that we see the conduct of Paul in his preaching, in his ministering, in his witnessing, it was a physical, laborious activity. Paul was not someone that was just didactic. He wasn't someone that was just he wasn't lazy by any stretch of the imagination, but his preaching was something not only mental, it was emotional, it was physical, it was carried on, both preaching, witnessing, and his work in the ministry and the spread of Christianity. We also looked at, guys, point number 2 was the last thing we looked at a few weeks back, was the continual education of Paul. Now, I am a proponent in all of my mind that we should ever be learning. We should ever increase in knowledge. I believe in the profession, and I use the word profession probably a little bit lightly. I don't want you to think of a pastor or a missionary or a church planner or an evangelist as being a career. It is a calling. But we should be professional in our calling. We should be professional in our preaching. Guys, there's some men out there who take pride in being, I don't want to use the word necessarily ignorant, but just they take pride in a lack of education. And I just don't believe that should be the way. I don't think education is the answer, the know-all and end-all. However, we should ever be learning. We should ever be increasing in knowledge of the Word of God. That's scriptural, my friend. We should give attendance to reading. We should study, a study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I was reading an article yesterday on a preacher who had read the Bible over 250 times in his life. He had read 15,000 books in his lifetime concerning the Word of God. He was a man of study. A good preacher and a good leader will always be well read. Saying all that to say this, in most professions, I know my background comes from healthcare, and we had to get a certain amount of continuing education credits every year and every 5 years to maintain our board certification. You had to do that. You had to continue to do it. And you had to do it as long as you wanted to maintain, that board, those credentials. And so, we were required to do that. And I believe as preachers, guys, we should require ourselves to do that. I believe we should make sure that we're getting a certain certain amount of continual education, more than just reading our Bible, more than just preparing sermons, but set aside a specific amount of time to increase in knowledge of the Word of God and rightly dividing the Word of truth. You know, we see the Bereans. Paul made special note that they were more noble than they of Thessalonica. Why? Because they searched the Scriptures daily. They searched the Scriptures daily. So Paul's mindset was a continual education in the Word of God, a continual education in the Holy Scriptures. Someone like himself, he says, I've apprehended not. He doesn't believe that he had arrived. And even though he had excelled above and beyond all of his peers, Paul continued to learn daily. So thirdly, this today, and this is what we want to get into this morning, we want to look at the character of Paul. Now, those of you who have been following our Bible studies for quite some time, you know back in the autumn time, I taught about a three-week lesson on the character of Paul. This is not related to that. That one was more a little specific. This is a little more superficial, if you will. So Jesus Christ died as Paul was finishing his school. Most of Judaism figured that when Christ died, Christianity would die with it. They never figured when he arose from the grave that Christianity would only grow stronger. They never understood that. And we find as Christ died and rose from the grave, the preaching of the gospel increased. Look at her in Acts chapter 6, if you will. Acts in chapter 6, and look with me in verse 7. And notice what is said clearly and plainly here. It doesn't get any simpler than this. It says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Beloved, priests began to get saved and born again. The church began to multiply in Jerusalem, and it's only a Jewish church. As a matter of fact, this is prior to the salvation of the Ethiopian eunuch, prior to the salvation of the centurion, and which is Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 8. So guys, you know, the only people that are getting saved, this is a Jewish church solely right now. So these priests are getting shaved, and the Jews had spread all over the civilized world at this present time. As a matter of fact, when Peter and John were arrested in Acts chapter 4, there were 148 synagogues in Jerusalem. This is what molded the character of Paul, hence the character of Paul tracing back to the path that was cut into the synagogues, which led to the blood of Stephen. All right? All of this is tied together. All this, remember, Paul was the representative of the synagogue of Cilicia. That was where he's from. And so when Christ Jesus was killed on the cross, Paul was completing his schoolwork under the teacher of Gamaliel. So somewhere along their travels, Paul dictated to Luke all of which occurred on this vicious day, I would say, when a man named Stephen was attacked, brutally attacked, beyond, I believe, probably human fathoming. You know, we find that Stephen, this great man of God, was a man, the Bible tells us, he's a man full of faith. He was a man full of the Holy Ghost. Look in verse 3 of Acts chapter 6. It says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over the over this business." It pleased the multitude that he was chosen. Look in verse 5. It says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicator and Timon and the rest of them. And it was full of faith and power, Stephen was. Verse 8, and Stephen full of faith and power, which is equates to the Holy Ghost, not by my might, not by my power, but by the power of the Holy Ghost. And great wonders and miracles among the people, did great wonders and miracles on the people. Saying all that to say this, when we look at the spread of Christianity, the spread of Christianity links all the way back to the choosing of this man of God named Stephen, where at a time that the word of God had increased and the number of the disciples were multitude, and a great number of priests were obedient to the faith. So it goes all the way back to the choosing of these seven men, but specifically this man named Stephen, as it links to the Apostle Paul's life. Stephen was dead, yet only God lived in him. Listen, the result of this day that happened when Stephen eventually is killed before the council, the result of this is the growth and the spread of Christianity, the very topic that we're speaking of here. So if you look in verse 10, this is where we look. All right, stop there before you look into it. I want you to envision with me Paul and Luke in their travels, carrying on, going down the road, doing whatever it is. Maybe they're on a ship, maybe they're walking, maybe they're sat by a fire. Maybe Paul's making some tents and he's just dictating to Luke, telling him the story and the background of how his life transformed from what happened on this fateful day when Stephen was murdered by the council. You see, when Stephen came before this council, the council that Paul was on, the one that he was consenting unto his death, all right? When you look and you understand that there's 148 synagogues in Jerusalem alone, and the idea of this molded the character of Paul, hence tracing all the way back to the death of Stephen, the motivation that Paul received from the preaching of Stephen. His character was molded by this man named Stephen. Remember, I told you the book of Acts is essentially about four men. It's about Peter, it's about Stephen, it's about Philip, and it's about Paul. Essentially, it's what I know it's called the Acts of the Apostles, but it's essentially about those four men. Now, Acts chapter 6 and verse 10, this is the root. This is where we go all the way back and understand that the result of Stephen's death is because of this very statement that we see. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. The witness of this event, the witness of such event would mold Paul into who and what the Lord needed him to become for the spread of Christianity throughout the world. It is echoed in his own words when Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Paul's mindset, which goes all the way back to this particular day when they stoned Stephen to death. Again, the effect that Stephen had in Paul's life is not only great, but massive. Stephen possessed the ability to deliver his message as well as defend his message within his preaching. Some men are able to deliver a beautiful message. Some men cannot defend it. Some men can defend the message, but they can't proclaim it in a manner for people to understand it. Stephen had both of those effects. Stephen was a man full of faith. He was a man that was emptied of himself. He was full of faith, and he was full of the Holy Ghost. So again, I said already twice, I'll say it once again, there were 148 synagogues represented in Jerusalem. If you'll look there in Acts 20, I'll give you a reference point, and you can just maybe, if you can turn there quickly, Acts 21. If you look in Acts 21, and look down toward the latter part of the chapter, this is just a reference point of these synagogues that are in Jerusalem. The Bible says in verse 39, Acts 21 verse 39, but Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. Each country had a headquarters in Jerusalem. They had a representation on the council. Now in Acts chapter 6, back where we are, and in verse 9, the Bible says, and there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. So imagine this with me, if you will, right here. You have these representatives, of whom Paul was this representative. He was at this headquarters here of the synagogue of Cilicia, that were meeting on this council. It is this very council that began to dispute with Stephen, and by Paul's own admission, by Paul's own words in verse 10, they could not resist the words by what wisdom he spake. Guys, William Guthrie said that faith can make Jesus do just about anything. And we find that this day that a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost was doing just about anything. What is that anything? It is refusing these guys. It is refuting and disputing the Holy Scriptures, but doing it in a manner to bring the words to them and defend the message, and then they're unable to resist by what words he's speaking. Why does that make sense? Why is that important? Guys, understand, the representative is on this council, these Pharisees, these members of the Sanhedrin, if you will, they prided themselves as being experts on the law, experts on the Holy Scripture. I mean, to a certain degree, perfectionists for everything that was written and given by God. And if that be the truth and that be their statement, and they sit back, as a matter of fact, in the school of Gamaliel, these students were required to travel throughout the civilized world and learn other religions in order to refute them. We saw that here in a couple sermons ago as Paul was standing before the Athenians, and he began to use their own poets and their own writings to quote them. And he used this different knowledge. You say, well, preacher, that's just pagan knowledge. Yes, it is. But they had the ability to argue another person's religion and refute it based upon the righteousness and the wisdom of the Word of God. And yet we find these experts, we find these perfectionists, we find these elite of the elite. Remember, Paul is a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, excelling above and beyond all of his peers, and yet they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. Guys, this was, for lack of better terms, this was a wake-up call to them. This was a slap in the face. And this is what molded the character of Paul this very day. There were three things the council of the Pharisees could not handle this day. Number one, they could not handle Stephen's preaching. They could not handle Stephen's preaching. And we will find that in our own society, whereas people will reject and refute the preaching of the Word of God. When men will stand upon the precepts of the Word of God and the Word of God alone and leave their opinions and leave their agendas at the door, you'll find that people will begin to either reject it or receive it because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. Religious people hate preaching. They hate it. We find in our country here that the high churches and the high religions, the preachers, they're allowed about a 9 to 9.5 minute sermon. They'll come to their church building and they'll sing very stoic songs. They'll sing 1, 2, 3 hymns. He'll get up and speak for about 9 to 9.5 minutes. They'll sing another one, and that's the end of the day. They'll recite from a red book. Guys, listen. How a person worships the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as they do it according to the Scriptures, that's their business. And I definitely do not believe in my heart today that time equates to quality. I don't believe that. If you can say what needs to be said and what God's laid on your heart in 9 minutes, then have at it. I have no problem with that whatsoever. There's no sense in repeating something over and over and over and over just to make it longer. Long preaching does not mean it's good preaching. I've sat here with guys preach for an hour and a half, and they could have said what they needed to say in 25 minutes. But to say this, the reason people are preaching 9 minutes is because the people are going to refuse to listen, because religious people hate preaching. Number two, we find that that the council could not handle the presence of God. Look in the last verse of chapter 6, and it says, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. God chose Stephen in the power of preaching. The preaching was under the unction of the Holy Spirit of God. And even those who were their self-proclaimed enemies to Stephen looked upon him as if he had a face of an angel. So we find that what the council could not handle that day was Stephen's preaching, number one. Number two, the presence of God. And number three, personal guilt. Personal guilt. Stephen calls them stiff necks. He says he called them stiff necks and stiff necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. They were always resisting the Holy Ghost. They wanted to follow their letter. They wanted to follow the traditions of men. They wanted to follow what was religious rather than what was right. And therefore they hated it. All of these things Paul is a member of, Paul is seeing them. And it molded his character, guys. The method of Stephen's preaching was to give a short history and then run as fast as he could to the Lord Jesus Christ. We find the same thing in the Apostle Paul's life as he begins to spread the gospel to the regions beyond. Preaching should convict people as well as convince people. It was the preaching of Stephen that day which delineated or molded, if you will, the character of Paul in the ministry of God that he would soon call him there to. Stephen's message had the effect, had affected the conversion of Paul. In Acts chapter 9, we find that the Lord said unto Paul, he said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Well, what pricks was he kicking against? Now, when it says pricks, that's That is an animalistic term. So the oxen, when the oxen would pull the wagon or pull the plow, those that were working the oxen would have a long staff with a blade or not necessarily usually a blade, but a sharp piece on the very end. And they would stick the backside of that oxen. Now, if you know an ox will kick to the side. And so what's happening, the Lord is saying, you're acting like an animal. We know that because the Bible says that he was breathing out threats and slaughter against the Lord. And we'll touch on that. Actually, that's on the next one. But Stephen's message, his preaching, affected Paul's conversion, the conversion of Paul, because he was kicking against the pricks of that heart, of that sermon. The word sermon means to stab. That's literally what it means, and it's defined as. It means to stab. And so Stephen's message was stabbing Paul in the heart, over and over and over. And the Lord, when he visits him there in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus, he says, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Matter of fact, it's verse 5 of chapter 9. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So preaching, guys, should convict and convince people. Stephen's message had a great effect on the conversion of Paul. It also had a great effect on the cruelty of Paul. In verse 1 of chapter 9, it says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Guys, the cruelty of Paul, we find that what was infamous, if you will. It was amazing. It was unthinkable that what Paul was doing. But he did that because of the conviction of Stephen's message. And the conviction of Stephen's message was working to convince him of who and what Jesus Christ was. And therefore, he figured, let me just kill them all. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the church. Churches that were started by Paul, churches were started by Paul because of the effect of Stephen's preaching. So we find the conversion of Paul, we find the cruelty of Paul, we find the churches started by Paul, all of which link back to the preaching of this message by Stephen this faithful day. There was a motivation from Paul to witness of what he witnessed this day of Stephen's death and the message that he heard. And it would remain in him for the rest of his life. It would drive him, if you will, in a way that few could understand. I mean, beyond Acts chapter 7 and verse 58, everything that Paul does, all that he achieves, is a direct effect of the message that he heard by Stephen. One sermon. It would be Stephen's message which would win Saul to Christ. And it is important to get someone. It's important to get someone near the preaching of the Word of God in order for them to get saved. The Bible clearly tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Stephen's message affected the Scriptures. When Paul writes in Romans 1, verse 16, that the gospel is the power, about the power of the gospel, which is spoken of, he writes back unto the Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 8, and in Paul's what Paul saw, and he remembered the power of God, and he remembered it through the preaching of the cross. Again, when you look back at Stephen's message, it was a short history. And from that short history, he ran as quick as he could to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he preached on that cross. And if you notice Paul's preaching, the very same format, the very same pattern is found in his character. Matthew Henry said that the gospel is the chariot at the war that God used to march across this world. The power of God is in the preaching of his gospel. Paul knew this, and he especially knew it as his life interprets the New Testament. This is more; it's even seen even more so in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. That the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even the bone and the marrow, the thoughts and the intent. Dividing asunder, it separates the thoughts and the intents of the heart, the Word of God does. So we find that Stephen's message this day molds the character of Paul. There's two reasons why Stephen's message was so effective. Number one, because Jesus Christ was there. Jesus was there. And number two, life was there. One of the greatest elements missing in today's preaching is life. Stephen's life was in his message. He cared for the eternal placement of people. Look in Acts chapter 6 and look in verse 7 with me. And we're nearly finished this evening. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, the opening text that we gave here just a little bit ago. It says, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. The word of God increased greatly and multiplied in Jerusalem because the word of God is alive. Preaching affects people. Paul writes in Galatians 5:4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you is justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. If there is no life, guys, there is no effect. So I want to sum this, lesson up here tonight with three things. Three things that would affect Paul's life from the preaching of Stephen. As a matter of fact, the first recorded sermon, the first recorded message that Paul gives, if you study it out, is nothing more than a continuation of what Stephen preached. But we find that Stephen's message would affect Paul's memory. Acts 22 verse 20 tells us clearly that, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Think about it for a second. 22 years later, the effect of Stephen's death was still in Paul's memory. His memory held strong. From the blood in Acts chapter 8, Paul could never get away from the episode of the first Christian martyr. Even more so the message he brought. So not only did Stephen's message affect Paul's memory, but it affected Paul's message. I'll take you to a handful of verses here. Acts chapter 7. Turn over there real quickly with me. Acts chapter 7, and we're going to cross-reference these with some of Paul's writings. So let's go to Acts chapter 7, verse 53. And the Bible says in verse 53, this is Stephen's message. This is him preaching. Acts chapter 7, verse 53 says, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. This is what Stephen is saying unto them and rebuking them and preaching in horror. And Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19. He says, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of the transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. That's Paul writing into Asia, the province of Galatia. Go back to Acts chapter 7 and look in verse 48. Acts chapter 7 and verse 48. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Acts 17, we find, if you'll turn there quickly with me. Acts chapter 17 and verse 24. This is Paul preaching in Europe upon Mars Hill. Acts 17 and in verse 24, the Bible tells us there, it says, God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Look back in Acts chapter 7 verse 42 again in Stephen's message. And we see how Stephen's preaching affected Paul's message. Acts 7 and verse 42 says, then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? In the book of Romans in chapter 1, and we won't go there, we read how many times Paul said that God gave them over to worshiping the creature more than the Creator. He's continuing. It's affecting his writing. It's affecting his preaching from this one fateful day where Stephen was killed in Acts 7. I mentioned Acts 8 just a little minute ago that he was dead, but we find here. Look in Acts chapter 7 with me again one last time. We see how Paul's message was affected by Stephen's preaching. And look in verse 60, the very final verse. It says, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep. If you'll turn with me quickly to 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's final letter that he writes from a Roman prison, just weeks or months away from his slaughter. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and look with me. Stephen was there, and I would say seemingly by himself. He was alone. He knelt down. He gave up the ghost. He fell asleep, the Bible says. Again, I'll read it. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now Stephen was inspired of God to say this thing, just as the Lord Jesus Christ says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, and at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Paul carried with him Stephen's dying words to his very dying day. Shortly after writing this final letter, Paul would be beheaded on the road to Ostia, known as the Salt Road. So Paul's memory of Stephen's message shaped his character. Paul's message of Stephen's preaching shaped his character. And finally, Paul's madness was affected by Stephen's preaching. The early days of the church were very hard. The founder of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, was crucified. The people loved his miracles, but they hated his message. And we see that in the birth of the church. Paul was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the church. Beloved, I want to close with this thought, that the effect of a sermon has on people can and should be, it's unlimited. You never know what kind of effect a sermon will have on one particular person. In this case, for the entire life of Paul's days, from this moment forward, he never forgot what Stephen preached. He never forgot the message he brought. He never forgot what Stephen gave up for the gospel to go into the world. And it was this very day that molded the character of Paul, who later on would take the gospel to the regions beyond. We bow your heads with me this morning. Receive me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and who you are. We thank you, Lord, for this blessed day, this opportunity and time to be together one with another. We thank you for the ability, Lord, for the technology, Lord, that the gospel may go out. And Lord, I just pray now that you'd please give us guidance, grace, and mercy. Forgive us where we have failed you. And Lord, I pray that you'd lead us into the right way. Speak through our hearts and our souls, I ask, Lord, as we can ponder throughout the rest of this night and even tomorrow that which you have given us, that which you have laid upon our heart from the teaching of your word here this evening. Lord, we love you. And as we go to prayer here shortly, Lord, I pray that you would please bless and answer the prayers according to thy will. We ask that you bless each and every person, Lord God, that's a part of our churches, Lord. I pray for every one of them and their needs today. We pray, dear God, that you'd please help those that are sick. We pray, Lord, for our members, Lord, that you would bless them richly and wonderfully. We ask you to please keep us safe and sound. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask all of these things. Amen and amen. I thank you for joining us, guys, this evening for our evening Bible study. Trust that you have gotten enough out of this, some food, if you will, upon your table to bless you.